Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
What a great time this morning in God's presence. What a great time to hear those words and those encouragements from God. And I know what I was excited about was I know what Miriam's going to be talking about today. She's going to talk about Rahab. And a lot of the stuff that God's highlighted in the worship, I think Miriam's going to bring to us in the word as well. So really excited to hear what she's got to bring us. And I'm just going to pray, if that's okay, Miriam. Father God, I just want to thank you that you are with us. I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit speaking to us this morning. And Father, I pray that as we receive this word that Miriam brings to us, Lord, that it will just produce fruit inside us, God. Help her words to land in good soil, Lord God, and produce a harvest in us. Father, I pray, anoint Miriam as she speaks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Damo. This week we're carrying on with the series of Heroes of Faith. And this week we're going to be looking at Rahab, who is one of the heroes of faith in the Hebrews 11 verse. So I just wanted first for some background for Hannah to come up and read from Joshua 2, verse 1 to 14. So that gives the background of Rahab and what the story is. Thanks, Hannah.
And it was told to the kings of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "True, the men come to me, but I did not know where they were from." And when the gate was about to close at dark, the men went out. "I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of the flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, who you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any of the men before you, because of you. For the Lord your God, he is in the heavens above you and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you will also deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign."
Fab, thank you, Hannah. So when I was kind of preparing for this, I was looking at the story of Rahab and why she's a hero of faith in this list of amazing people that did stuff in faith in God. And there was kind of three areas that stood out for me in terms of Rahab and what she did. And the first one was about her character and her faith in God. So she heard from God and she did stuff. She didn't know God. She didn't know the God of the Hebrews. And I guess that's something that we can definitely learn from as well, that we do know God, and we know that he's true and that he's good, and that we can step out in faith knowing that he's there for us and he's solid. I think the second area that I was particularly stood out to me was that Rahab had, she was a prostitute, so as it mentioned in the story, she had a past, the stuff that went down, and actually she didn't stop that. She didn't let that stop her stepping out in faith. She knew that God was real, and that she couldn't, it wasn't okay for her to rely on the fact that her past was rubbish to then take that step and do what God was telling her to do. And the last kind of area, which was apparent in the story, about God's timing being really just perfect, that God is sovereign and in control. And in the story of Rahab, there's a period of time where she's waiting for the spies to come back and save her and her family. And actually she held on to the truth that they would come back and that she would be saved. And it shows that in the story that God's timing is perfect. And it's the same for us as well, that actually there's periods in our lives where we're waiting and waiting for God to move and praying into that. And we know that he's faithful. So the verse in Hebrews is Hebrews 11, verse 31. And it says, "By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." So Hannah's kind of read the whole of the background, but just to kind of go over that a bit more. At the point of where Rahab got involved, Joshua had just taken over leading God's people. So Moses had just died, and God had spoken to Moses about leading the Israelites to the promised land, and Joshua was taking that forward. Joshua was telling people to prepare themselves for passing over the Jordan and be ready to take on the Lord, that the land the Lord had promised. And part of this was to kind of have victory over the city of Jericho. So that was a real key city for the Israelites to kind of take over. And so Joshua sent those spies to check out Jericho, basically, to find out what was going on there, how they might be able to have victory over that city. And the spies found kind of solace, I guess, in Rahab's house, where she kind of took them in and hid them away. And it talks about how the king sent a message to Rahab and said, basically, give those people up because you are being a traitor to this city. And Rahab heard from God at that moment and decided that in faith she would hide them and not tell the king. She told them that she didn't know where the men had gone, that if the king's men pursued them quickly, then he would find them. And she'd hidden, as it says in the story, she'd hidden them on the roof. And she went to speak to them, and it says, Rahab said, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the fear of you has fallen on us, and all inhabitants of the land melt away before you." And then it talks about how Rahab knew what the God of the Israelites had done, that he had dried up the water of the Red Sea, and that he had overthrown kings. And I guess it talks about how she might have known that information. So she was she owned an inn at the city walls, and so she will have met people who will have travelled and known about this God that had done this amazing stuff. And actually in Jericho, there was kind of religion that wasn't the God of the Israelites, that was about kind of self and about doing stuff that people wanted to do, and paganism and all that. And actually she could see that this God was true, that this God was good, and he was for his people. And this really impacted her. It shows that in the story, that she knew that God had spoken to her, and she wanted to be faith-filled in her actions and kind of take that step of faith, not knowing the outcome. She didn't know that she was going to be saved for definite, but she trusted that what the spies had said and what God was going to do was true. So it's blatant in the verses that Rahab is a prostitute. That's what her job was. And she kind of did this for money and was kind of there in Jericho, and that was her role. And I think it's really cool to see the level of faith that she had in a God that she didn't even know. And she was, by hiding the spies, she was able to... she put herself in a very vulnerable position, so she was basically taking her life into her own hands, or putting her life in God's hands to be saved. And it shows that she knew, the little she knew of that God, she knew that he is powerful, that he's sovereign, and that his plans are followed through to fruition. And as I said, the fact that Rahab did that, it was actually treason, because the spies were gathering intelligence for what the Israelites were going to be doing. And it goes on, as Damien spoke about last week, about the walls of Jericho and them taking over the city. She stepped out in faith, not knowing the outcome of what was going to happen, not knowing that the spies would come back and save her. That was a promise that they made, but she didn't know that for definite. She'd only just met them. And that her family would be saved as well. She asked for that as in return for what she did for the spies. Yeah, and I think this is something that I kind of drew out of it, that she did ask for her family to be saved as well. And she knew in that moment that God was real for her and for her family as well. And for us as a church, I think that's really poignant, isn't it? Because actually, yes, we've been saved and we know that we're here on mission in Blackpool. Some of us have moved here. Some of us have come to this church as part of finding out what we're doing. And I think Rahab's story really shows that she wasn't only concerned with her own salvation. She was concerned with the salvation of her family as well. And she, knowing God was real for her, she wanted to share that with other people. And that really challenged me, and I think that's a challenge to us, to be faithful in continually praying for our family, for our friends, and to be Jesus to those people, to love them, to bring them into our community, and so that they know Jesus, who is true and good. And yeah, the fact that we're not the ones who are saving, we're not the ones who are doing that work, that's God's job. But actually, there are opportunities that we can create. We can be bold in the Holy Spirit in inviting people to church and inviting people to small group. And we've seen fruit in that in this church already, which is really, really amazing. So my prayer for us in that is that God would give us opportunities to get to know people, to invite people around, to love them and to show them Jesus so that he can reveal himself to them. In terms of Rahab being, obviously she's in Hebrews 11, she's also mentioned in James as well, and I'll read the verse there. It's James 2, verse 25. It says, "In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way?" And it's really interesting, this links to what Demo was talking about last week, about James talking about faith without works is dead. That actually the Bible doesn't say that we're justified by works. We're not. We can't do anything to earn our own salvation. But that faith without works is not alive. That we, if we have faith and do nothing about it, like sharing our faith with others, like loving others, then our faith is dead. So that's another challenge to us, isn't it? For us to put our faith in God into action, like Rahab did. And she, I think the amazing thing about that story is that she didn't know anything about him really, apart from the stories that had been shared by other people that came to the city, and she chose to take that action from the little knowledge she had, and she was risking her life for God. And I think that's not necessarily a position that we will be put in daily, hopefully, but actually that we can, it does challenge our day-to-day thinking, in the sense that do we have faith for God to come through in all things in our lives? Do we have faith that he is with us in everything, in the little detail and the big stuff as well? Do we have faith that he is with us with our jobs, with our finances, with our family? And do we have faith that he is with us and helping us to talk to other people about him? So that was a real challenge for me about the story of Rahab. As you can probably tell, I'm not from Blackpool. My accent is a little bit that way in Yorkshire. And I've lived kind of across the country, really, since I was 18. I moved to Preston. And then after living in Preston, I moved to Shrewsbury, which not many of you will have heard of that place. It's in the Midlands in Shropshire. And I moved there to do a graduate scheme. So I spent a bit of time doing placements in different areas across council down there. And some of that time was spent in adult services, in children's services, social care. And when I was there, I got this real kind of passion for wanting to work with people who are vulnerable, who need advocating for and who are exploited. And so I decided to apply for a qualification to do social work for my sins. And so I kind of applied for that on the basis of, I'll give it a go. Like, I don't really feel like I'm going to get in at this point because I've not got much experience. I've not done much volunteering, what they expect to be able to get in and do that. But I applied for it and I actually got in, shocker, to the university in Lancaster. And I think this is it. In my life, this was a point where I had stepped out in faith by applying for it, but definitely had an element of fear that I was moving from a job where the income was good. I had a lot of good friends. The church was great down there. And there was a lot of stuff that could have been easy to just kind of sit back and say, right, I'm going to settle in Shrewsbury. It's a beautiful town. Go there if you've not had a chance. It's very pretty. But actually, I decided that because I'd got in, it was the right thing and the faith-filled thing to do to move to Lancaster. And there were so many things. It's not like me to not plan, but there were so many things that weren't in place for when I'd moved. So I didn't have a part-time job, and I knew I needed a part-time job. I didn't really know anyone apart from Ed in Lancaster, and I didn't have a church that I was planning on going to, and I didn't really have any friends. But I moved there in faith that God would use that time in Lancaster, and that it was the right thing to do for God to move in my life. And the amazing thing is that I turned up to church on the Sunday, City Church, and was just chatting to people about the fact that I'd moved there, and chatting to this guy about needing a part-time job. And he was like, "Oh, right, well, I'm the manager of a pub in Lancaster, and we need some people because we've had a lot of people leave recently. So if you want to come for an interview, feel free, and we can get you some hours." And that was just, it might seem like a small thing, but actually for me, it was pretty amazing that that was in place basically on the first week that I'd gone to church, and God just really moved in that for me. And there were so many other things throughout those 2 years of living in Lancaster that it was just so clear, God's faithfulness while I was there. Meeting a lot of people that are in this room now, getting the passion for wanting to move to Blackpool as well, and then eventually getting a job in social work after finishing qualification. And I think that story for me is about faith in action, about moving. Well, that example was moving, but when God speaks to us, that we do something about it, that we're not fearful of taking that step because we know that God is true and good, and he's with us even in the difficult times. Because being in Lancaster was fantastic, but it wasn't all plain sailing, I'm not saying that. Time was kind of a difficult thing in terms of fitting everything in, and stress with placement and all that jazz. But I knew that God was with me throughout all that time, and he put people around me to support me, and that was amazing. So I think it's something good for us as a church to be kind of looking back in our lives, looking back in the life of this church and seeing God's faithfulness in what he's done, that he has a plan, and that some of it, yeah, might not seem in our timing, but actually it is in his plan. So the challenge for us is that our faith should result in action there, like Rahab's did, and that we should know that these are the times that we will look back and see God moving, that we might feel small as a church, but actually our God is big and is good. And yeah, our faith-filled actions, whether they are small or big, God loves it. Like, he loves you stepping out, he loves you doing things for him. And Jesus, as we all know, the parable where he talks about faith being the size of the mustard seed, moving mountains, and actually that's such an encouragement for us, isn't it? That's the level of faith that we need for God to move. In terms of Rahab, she, as I've mentioned, she was a prostitute, so she had a past. She had stuff that had gone on in her life that she probably wasn't particularly proud of. And I think something that really stood out for me was that Rahab didn't wallow in that past. She didn't let that affect what she was going to do in God. That she didn't think, oh, because of my past, I can't step out and do this for a God that is holy. But actually that she knew that he loved her, and that this was a kind of thing that she should do, that they should step out in faith because that's what God's wanted for her to do. And that's the same for us, isn't it? That actually sometimes we might feel that we've done too much rubbish stuff, that we can't step out because of our past and what may or may not have happened, what we may or may not have done. But actually, we can have confidence, can't we, that we can step out in faith because of who Jesus is, because of the fact that he has covered us with his grace and mercy, as we were talking and singing about earlier. And Rahab, as I've mentioned, is included in the list of heroes, isn't she, with people like Moses and Noah. And that just shows us that God is able to use and does use people who are unlikely, who are people that, they've not kind of lived a kind of straight down the line life. Actually, he uses people who are weak and feeble to bring his purposes into being. And that's just so freeing for us all, isn't it, to know that it's not about getting to a level. It's not about kind of being a certain way for God to use us, but actually he's going to use us in the way that we are because he's made us how he wanted us. And Rahab's also in the bloodline, the lineage of Jesus, and she's referred to in Matthew 1, which I thought was pretty amazing, that actually someone with such seemingly low credentials and kind of life choices that not everyone would make, she came to God and put her faith and trust in him, and then is in the bloodline of our Saviour. And it's just amazing, is it? There's so much grace and mercy over the whole of that. It's just fantastic to know that for Rahab, and the fact that we are in Jesus' family if we're a Christian. And I think I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels inadequate to be able to carry out what God wants for us in Blackpool, but I know that God has grace for me, has grace for us all. He's my sustainer, and he's given me life through what Jesus has done to be able to share who Jesus is with other people. I was thinking about not letting your past kind of affect what you do in God. I was thinking about someone called John Newton, who was alive in the 1800s, I think. And he worked in the slave trade, and just he was kind of one of the main people in the context of the slave trade. And he saw the horrific conditions that those people were put in and how they were treated. And he actually made money from that as well. That was his source of income. And John Newton became a Christian, and he recognised that the role that he played in this trade was awful, and that those people were also sons and daughters of God. And he had a real revelation of God's grace at the time he became a Christian, that it was not about what he had done in his past, but actually who he was in Jesus. And he wrote the song, I'm sure you know, the song Amazing Grace. And the first bit of it says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." That's amazing, isn't it? Someone who could have such weight from their past of what they've done. He didn't let that affect what he did in the future, and the fact that he knew that God had covered him. And the rest of John Newton's life, he worked to abolish the slave trade. He worked alongside William Wilberforce, and he stepped out in faith in that and didn't hide under his past wrongdoings, but he knew that God's grace was enough for him, and I think that's amazing. And the church, that's something that we need to know for ourselves, isn't it? That we are made new in Jesus, as we were talking about earlier and singing about, that we shouldn't let our past and what we've done in the past stop us from stepping out in that faith. And it talks in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 about how we are a new creation. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I think that's, I've just written some questions here, kind of rhetorical questions. Do we truly believe that that is true for ourselves? Do we know that that is who we are? Do we live in that truth? Do we wake up every day thanking God for what he's done for us, and the fact that we are new in him, that we are not just brushed up and made to be a little bit better than we were before, but actually that we are righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. And kind of acknowledging the fact that there is a tension there, isn't there, about who we are, that we are made new in Christ, we are new creations, but also that we're not yet there. And God is still working with us and working in us and changing us and sanctifying us. But when you look at Rahab and you look at kind of what she did, she just went for it, didn't she? She didn't kind of sit around thinking, "Oh, I can't quite make this decision, can't quite do this thing because of my past." But actually, she did it, and God used her in that. And I think that's amazing and something that we can all kind of take something from. And I think the last area I talked about was about God's timing, and how we can trust him in the waiting. And there was a time, as I mentioned, that Rahab had to wait for the walls of Jericho to fall down and for her to be saved by the Israelites. And it talks in Joshua 5, verse 1, that the Amorites' hearts melted and there were no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. Basically, that says that all the people around Rahab were very, very scared. They were petrified. And Rahab was actually strong in that. She was it doesn't talk about her being scared. It says she was waiting on God's promise. She was waiting that he would come through. And it talks in Psalm 27, verse 14. It says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. And I think the challenge there is that there could be areas in our lives where we are waiting for God to come through in certain things, that we are praying faithfully for things to happen. But actually, sometimes when we're truthful with ourselves, we might not actually be confident that God will come through. And I think stories like Rahab just really show, and so many throughout the Bible, God's faithfulness to his people, and the fact that things will happen in his perfect timing and his perfect plan. And I think it's really hard, isn't it, to be in those moments where we want things to happen in our timing because we think that that's best. But actually, we've got a Father who knows us better than we know ourselves and knows what's best for us at the time. And Rahab knew that as well, didn't she? That she would wait for the Israelites to come back, and she was saved. So there's a guy in the Victorian times called George Muller, and he's a fantastic person to read about if you get a chance. Like, his life, amazing. He was known for having a passion for supporting children who don't have parents. So he opened a lot of orphanages and just covered that whole thing with prayer. He was a great man of prayer and faithfulness in God. And there's a story about his kind of prayer for various friends that he had. He would pray every day faithfully that his friends would come to know Jesus as he did. And there's just a little excerpt here that I'm going to read out. So in November 1844, this is George, I began to pray for the conversion of 5 individuals. I prayed every day without a single intermission. 18 months passed before the first was saved. 5 years lapsed, then the second was converted. 6 years passed before the third was converted. And the last 2 remained unconverted. And that was written, George said that just before he passed away. And actually, within months of him passing away, the other 2 friends were saved. And I think that's amazing, isn't it? That it just shows, one, what faithful prayer does, that actually coming to God and having faith that he will bring salvation to our friends and family and being kind of faithful in that produces fruit. That's what that story that George Muller had shows. And it's an amazing story of God's timing for salvation as well. So actually, we maybe sometimes feel discouraged that we've been praying for people for years to become Christians. But actually, that didn't stop Mr. Muller continuing to pray faithfully for his friends and family. And then God broke into their lives and they were saved. I think the challenge to us as a church is that we would be people who do wait on God and trust him for his timing, that his timing is perfect, and that we need to know that that's true for ourselves. And my prayer is that we do rely on him and his Holy Spirit to lead us into plans for our lives, and that we actually don't take matters into our own hands. And that's really easy to do, and I am so good at doing that. But actually, that we know that what God wants to happen and his timing and his plan is better than what we can do. And actually, that there's sometimes a reason we're waiting. So there's things in my life that I've been kind of praying about and waiting for. And actually, when you look back, you know there was a reason why that didn't happen at that time. There's so many things that happen in life that you think, I wish that had happened at a different time. But actually, when you look at it in the context of everything else, you know that there was a reason why it happened then. Just the encouragement from George that we continue to pray faithfully for friends and family, that we commit to that, and that's not a legalistic or religious thing at all. Actually, it's about seeing people saved and having faith that people will be saved. I guess application to us as a church, we've seen people join us, and that's fantastic, isn't it? But we're waiting for more people to join us. We're waiting to grow, and we're waiting for more people to come and to know Jesus for their Lord and Saviour. And we wait patiently in that. That is what is good to do. And now is the time to be preparing for that to happen, to be preparing for people to come join us, for people to know him. To be ready for that, because it's going to happen. I just wanted to finish with this quote from Francis Chan, a book called Crazy Love, and then the quote's about faith. And he says, "But God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to trust him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if he doesn't come through." And that's a real challenge, isn't it, to, as I say, if we are planners, if we are people who put things in place to make sure that things don't go wrong, it's actually really difficult. But that's what God wants for us, doesn't he? He wants us to trust our Heavenly Father, that he is true and good, and that he will come through. So let us be challenged by Rahab's example, that we step out in faith when we hear what God's got to say to us, and that those steps result in something happening, in action. And let this be for the big and little things. Let us not talk down the little things, because actually God wants to see us trusting him for all things in our lives. And that the fact that only requires a small amount of faith to do big things in God's name for his glory, because he is big and he is good. Let us know that we can step out in faith despite knowing what we've done in the past, because Jesus has covered us. We've sung so much about grace this morning, and I pray that we would know that the Holy Spirit would imprint that on us, that we would know that Jesus has covered us. Let us trust God in the waiting, knowing that he has a plan for us and that his timing is perfect. So yeah, God, I thank you that you've given us people in the Bible to know their stories, to know how you were faithful in their lives. And God, I pray that we would know that that's true for us, that we would know that that you are good, that you are gracious, that you are merciful, that we are a new creation in you, God. Just imprint that on our hearts right now, God, that we are new in you, that we can have faith in you because you are trustworthy.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.